how are you today?
I'm waiting for your car. I don't know
what
you have
to do. Okay, yeah, they are going to deliver today, Chair.
Yeah, but they must deliver before I go home.
Okay, Chair.
Yeah, because I'm going back to Gauteng today.
Okay, Chair.
Yeah, good morning, Minister. Good morning, Honorable Members. It's exactly half past nine. We can start with our meeting. I declare this meeting officially open. I don't know why am I seeing myself only. I thought whether it's my gadget or whether it's like this. Oh, by the way, we're not in those parliamentary boardrooms. That's why I'm seeing myself alone. The screen is funny. Carol.
We can see you, Chair, and it's clear.
Oh, okay.
Chair, I'm here.
It's because I'm seeing myself on.
No, we can see you. Nice.
Oh, okay. Okay. Start with our meeting, Honorable Members. The Minister, thank you very much for your attendance. I don't know whether the DM is here.
Recording in progress.
The DM is here. Are there any apologies?
Thank you. Good morning, Chair and Members. Yes, Chair. Good morning, Chair, and good morning, Members, to the Minister and the Department. I have received two apologies, Chairperson, from two members. One is from Honorable Klengwa. She's attending the Presidential Summit on Health. It started yesterday and it will end today. The other one is Honorable Frongo. She's attending the meeting of the Portfolio Committee on Social Development. Thank you, Chair. Those are the two apologies that I have received from members.
Okay, I don't see the DG. Is the DG here?
She was here earlier on, Chair, but she's not here, and I don't see her.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Member. Minister, thank you for understanding our situation on Tuesday. Thank you also for your officials that attended our Portfolio Committee meeting with the NYCA on Wednesday. And you are again here being part of our meeting. I think some of the things that we agreed during our meeting with the NYCA, Honorable Members will also raise them today so that we understand each other as the Committee on the Auditor General. Lady.
It's Mvaba, Chair, the committee assistant. Mr. Mvaba, who's
assisting?
He's acting with
the okay. Now I have terrible flu. So, Honorable Members, hopefully they are going to raise and remember the things that we have raised so that the APP of the department can make sense to us and to themselves, because some of the things that we have raised on Wednesday, truly speaking, it's things that we've been raising from the previous years, that the department can't be saying on their APP their target on youth issues is the NYTA 4 report. That doesn't make sense. They should be coming with their own programs, their own targets, because when they write NYTA, NYTA is reporting directly to the Portfolio Committee in Parliament. The department is expected to be writing their own programs on what it is that they are going to do for you, for young people of the country, as they have paid their own mandate. So we have tried that on Wednesday to outline on exactly what they should be writing in their APP so that it can make sense. Because if you assess and analyze the performance of the department, you can't say the Department on Youth Issues is four reports of the NYTA. That doesn't make sense. And even on other issues that were raised on Wednesday, we've seen the NYTA is doing well when it comes to issues of disability, persons living with disability. In fact, the problems that they have, in some of them, when we do oversight, we have seen what they're doing. But Minister, I think what is important also is that we give feedback on the oversight that we have done in KZN and Mpumalanga. There's a program for sanitary dignity pads that the department is also overseeing, if I'm not mistaken, or you are playing oversight. In Mpumalanga, I mean, is that the Department of Education, that program falls under social development. In Mpumalanga, you know, there's no uniformity, in fact. Other provinces, that program falls under the Department of Education. But in Mpumalanga, it falls under the Department of Social Development. The Department of Education raised serious concerns regarding the quality of sanitary dignity pads that are provided to their schools. One, they said the sanitary dignity pads that they provide, the service delivery, suppliers are supplying a quality that is not FABS approved, and those sanitary pads are making girls to get a rash on their private parts. They have raised that several times. They have written to, I don't know whether there is a Mr. or a Miss Machuzi, what's the name of the lady in your department, and did it the show. They have written to them with that complaint, and the Department of Social Development said they have reported to your department, but up until today, your department never responded. There was an article of corruption that was on the media the department is claiming to have established a rapid response team in provinces, and in fact that is not correct. What she presented to the portfolio committee was misleading. In Mpumalanga, there is no a rapid response team. Were they not there? And with regards to the sanitary dignity test, I think, Minister, that one needs a thorough investigation because it's a lot of money that is being given by National Treasury to provinces. And those sanitary pads, we went to one school, I forgot the name of the school, it's Posha something, and in that school, when we checked ourselves, we just interviewed the school girls randomly, and we went to one class and also interviewed girls in class in front of the school principal and other teachers, and the girls said to us, the last time they received those pads was last year, September. And fortunately, because the Department of Education in the province was part of our oversight visit, and the department, no official was part of the oversight visit, we reported Shoki was that they are not going to join us because now we want a bouquet catering and so forth. And but that's not correct. I have never seen any correspondence that went to the department that asked for a bouquet catering for that Mpumalanga oversight visit, including the KZN visit. The KZN visit, at least two officials from the department were part. Yeah, the KZN, yeah, where there was an official, I don't know whether it was the director or, but there were two officials from the Department of Mines, but in Mpumalanga there was no official from the department. So, including the issue of the Thuthuzela Center, you know, sometimes we sit in Portfolio in Parliament and in your in office, and then we are being given those reports to say there are Thuthuzela centers. How many centers are there? We went to one hospital in Temba to look at that Thuthuzela center. That thing was not a Thuthuzela center, I mean, it's something else. According to the blueprint standard of what the NPA said, the Thuthuzela center should be having what constituted it was a 0-1. But fortunately, because in our meetings we had the NPA, we had the National Department of Health, we had the Department of we had the NGOs that are running those a part of those Thuthuzela centers and NGOs who are dealing with issues of domestic violence, sexual abuse, and so forth. All of them, it was easy for us to get the true reflection on what exactly is happening in Mpumalanga. So, fortunately, with the interventions that were made as the portfolio committee, we gave the NPA, the Department of Health, and the CEO of the hospital an opportunity to go and discuss on how best can they change that Thuthuzela center and make it a Thuthuzela center according to the standards required so that they comply. And they came back, we gave them 30 minutes, they went out for an hour and they discussed and agreed and a consensus to say they are going to change it, they will close that one and go and move other to another ward, another side of the hospital, and they are busy with it. We are happy because our intervention has done what is required for us as public representatives to do. They are correcting the wrongs that they've done because it's misleading. It means even the president, when he's announcing that we have so many centers, he was talking about something that he doesn't know, ask and check what is the Thuthuzela center he was going to support it. So I want to thank honorable members for making time to go with us to that oversight visit. And the work that is done by NYDA in Mpumalanga, the minister is excellent. They are doing a great job. With the projects that they are doing great. We have seen their projects. We have made recommendations on some in discrepancies that we have seen. But those discrepancies are not done by NYDA, National Office or Provincial Office. It is done by provincial government, where one girl is receiving more funding from provincial government than others. You know, one person is being funded with millions. He's got another office in Bush, Bakrish, and he's giving money, resources. He's got other offices and funds and what, and it's the families that were affected by floods, because the most affected are women and children. There was a place that we visited, and where people were not placed accordingly. We went there as the portfolio committee, and we called in the office of the premier, the municipality, the provincial government, including the minister of human settlement. When we discovered that there are things that are not going well in that place, we called in the minister of human settlement, and she made her interventions that night, called in the agency that is supposed to be placing those families in safety places. So we also called in the MEC for education in KZN, and the MEC, because there was an issue of when they relocate those families to other areas, there was a problem of school transport. Remember, some of most of those families that were affected by flood are not working. So provincial government was then assisting them with the scholar transport. So Honorable Masiko and Honorable Mamshema were tasked by the portfolio committee that they need to make follow-up on to check whether things that were committed by both departments are happening. So far, they've done that. I'm sure if there's any updates from Honorable Masiko, and Mam Shema is, unfortunately, she told me that she's attending a health summit in Gauteng. She's not here, but Honorable Masiko can give us feedback on the things that they've committed to. How far are they so far? And then with CGE also, CGE was part of our oversight visit in KZN and in Mpumalanga. Yeah, over to you, Honorable Member. Honorable Sheriff.
Good morning, Chair.
Morning.
I hope you can see me. You just, I feel like I haven't used Zoom in such a long time. You can see my background. There we go. You see the mess that my library is. Okay, I just wanted to echo your sentiment. I think when we went on the oversight to Mpumalanga, it was very that the department was not with us. Usually when we go on oversight, we expect the department to at least send one or two officials, because a lot of the issues that we were dealing with, we couldn't get answers because nobody from the department was there. So moving forward, I would definitely suggest to the DG that she ensures that there are officials that come with us on these oversight visits. Chair, if the department doesn't know already, this committee is very, very interactive and very solution-driven. And we like to get things done on the ground immediately. Just like the meeting with the Tutuzela Care Center, we could have just left it and said, okay, please deal with it. But instead, we had a 12-hour meeting where we sat and we spoke about these issues and came up with solutions. And the fact that the department wasn't there made it a little bit more difficult for us to ensure, one, accountability, two, to get answers, but also to ensure that implementation is happening. At the end of the day, Chair, Program 2 in the department deals with gender-based violence and femicide. And even though GBVF is a multi-sectoral issue that has to be dealt with throughout government as a whole, the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities remains the custodian to ensure that things are actually happening on the ground. So to have an oversight where we speak about GBV, where we go and visit shelters, where we speak to NGOs that are doing so much work that, you know, even they themselves are struggling. When we have issues around sanitary pads where officials can't even account for the money that is being spent, it's problematic, Chair. And I agree with you completely that when we come to portfolio committees and department comes to report, we take that reporting as truth. We take what they say as fact, that this is indeed what is happening, because you can't come to mislead the committee. You can't mislead Parliament. And so we take it as fact. So when we go to the ground and we actually see what's really happening, it's important that the department be there to explain and tell us what is their plan moving forward. So Chair, I would just like to echo and agree with you, and maybe the DG can tell us what the issue was, because this thing of catering nonsense, we're not going to accept it. And we definitely, you know, like to see more engagement from them. Chair, I'm not going to get into the APP just yet, but I just wanted to speak on the oversight, and especially around the issues with the sanitary dignity program. Chair, imagine my shock when we are told that the RTD can't come and present to us because they haven't been established, after we were told that every single province has an RTD that's been established. It would have been good for the department to be in that meeting to tell us what is happening, but instead, we have to now come to Portfolio Committee and raise these issues when it should have been raised in the oversight. But Chair, in terms of the rest of the APP, I'll wait until the department has presented, but not okay. Please, you must attend our oversight. This is the last time that we're going to accept your excuses. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sharif. I think the other thing that is not acceptable is the issue. It's when our committee secretary is asking you the contact people that you're working with in provinces and you refuse to give us those contacts. You refuse to give us contacts, that means you are sabotaging, you are violating, in fact, the constitution, because we are the ones who must make people to account. We are doing oversight. You can't block us from doing our oversight. I'm sure today you will explain to us why did you refuse to give us contacts that you are working with in provinces. Honorable Maxico and Mamfundi.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and good morning to your good self, Honorable Members, Minister DM, and the Department. In fact, good morning to everybody on the platform. Honorable Chair, I'm not going to repeat most of the things that you have said because you have actually covered our sentiments and observations around the two oversight visits that we've had, both in KZN and Mpumalanga. Chair, I think we as a committee are starting to now sound like a broken record around the issue of the sanitary dignity program. We have called a meeting on several occasions where we've also included the provincial departments, whether it's social development or education, as the implementing departments. And the sentiments that the issues that we've raised, even in the meetings, we are still finding them, Chairperson, 2 years down the line in provinces. We did strongly recommend 2 years ago when we convened a meeting with the provincial department, together with the Department of Women with and Persons with Disabilities, for the department to monitor this program, structure it correctly and ensure that there is uniformity. It's a challenge and a problem, Honorable Chair, when we get to provinces and we find the very same issues that we've raised 2 years down the line. It means that little or nothing has been done around the proper structuring of the sanitary dignity program. You know, what was in Mpumalanga, what we found in Mpumalanga was quite shocking. And I think the department really needs to bring this program forward and structure it correctly. And also, Chairperson, we've spoken at length around the economic spin-off for this program and the beneficiation of this program to the women and the young people in the provinces. That has also not taken place. And I think it's something, Chairperson, that could have been done should the will on the side of our situation where this program is monopolized by a man who is benefiting totally by, I think it's 120-something million. And what we had recommended around the capacitating young women cooperatives to go into the the production aspect of sanitary towels has not taken place. So I think, Chairperson, what we have found through the oversight visit is exactly what we have raised in this platform through meetings. But it's quite a concern that nothing has been done around the proper structuring of this program. Specifically, Chairperson, looking at the issue of uniformity, what happens on the right must happen on the left. So I think it's important. It speaks to the issue of the monitoring and evaluation on the side of the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities. Though there are concerns, Chairperson, I think there's also something good around the work of the CGE in the province. Commissioner
Robert Ntuli,
yes, Commissioner Ntuli Tobata is doing some good work around looking or picking up on some loopholes in the system, especially as it speaks to the implementation of the blueprint around our Thuthuzela care centers. And I think, Chairperson, what is important, because they've done the research, it's for us to pick up on the documents and the research reports that they have written. And we come closer. So it's quite shocking and sad to know that our, you know, president and our ministers will take platforms and report on Thuthuzela care centers that are totally dysfunctional. And it's something, Chairperson, that we need to look into and ensure that we make a follow-up on and not wait for Parliament to actually go on the ground and play oversight and find the state of Thuthuzela care centers. Because what we found in Mpumalanga at Themba Hospital, you know, you would say that it's a secondary victimization of the survivors of gender-based violence. It was a Thuthuzela care center that was not in good state. Ourselves, when we got there, we just didn't know where to sit ourselves because also our sofas are torn. You know, the state is quite bad. And what the victims are exposed to when they enter that area where there's a reception area or a clinic, it's busy, there's a tax shop there. It's things, Chairperson, that should not be happening if we are playing a proper monitoring over the implementation of the Thuthuzela care centers. You know, we should report on things that we know and have confidence that they are in a good state and are really giving the best service to the victims of gender-based violence. What I found, Chairperson, is something that is working, that I know that in KZN is not really functional. It's the provincial gender machinery in Mpumalanga. And I think we should, in the revival of the national gender machinery and also the provincial gender machinery in provinces where it doesn't exist, we should actually get closer to Mpumalanga and ensure that we are able to, as a best practice, look into the model that they are using, because I know that in other provinces, the provincial gender machinery is dysfunctional. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Masiko, Mam Sonti. I'm going to kick it out to you, Lo. It's a sin. Okay.
Morning, Minister, and the members of the committee, and the staff, and the department also. Chairperson, I have a concern about the oversight which was in Mpumalanga, about not included me in that oversight. It's only Mamu Kaula who was engaged to be in that oversight, although she was not attended, and no one who communicated with me so that I can be in her state to attend until I called secretary. When I see the pictures, which was no Mamu Kaula on there, it's where I realized that no one for EFF who represent. I am so disappointed, Chairperson. Ukuthi why nina ngingafakwa khona laphaya. So what I'm going to report to my party now. I tried even to call Mamu Kaula during the session, but I didn't get hold of her until the oversight finished and they came back. I want to put this in record, Chairperson, ukuthi mna, maybe I'm not recognizing the as the member in the committee. I don't know why. I'm so disappointed. I don't know even what I'm gonna report in my party. Because maybe they can think that I don't want to work. They don't know that me. Na azange ndikalelwe ukuthi if Mamu Kaula she's not there, I must be there. I don't know what is happening. Thank you, Chairperson.
We have just lost the chairperson on the platform. She is experiencing some network challenges on her part. Whilst we are still waiting for her to rejoin, I will recognize members who still wish to make our contributions on the issue of oversight visits before we proceed to the agenda items. Ma'am Kaula?
Okay.
Appreciate that the sanitary pads are being issued
we must make sure that they are not expired and make sure that they are usable. The issue of promoting somebody else's company because of certain agreements, we as government, we are not going to tolerate the things that are going to affect our children. We shouldn't be reckless in South Africa. You don't even care about the food that we eat that, you know, is not up to standard. There are a number of cases. You find that even the food that is issued to people, even these shops of people who come in South Africa, you know, it's not food that is supposed to be eaten by people in South Africa. Now, when you have to put something in a private part, which is not up to standard, it's not okay. Thank you very much. I'll stop here. My network is bad. I'm not sure whether electricity will come back. Thank you.
Your apology, Mam Kaula, is accepted. Mam Sonti, Mam Kaula is correct. In fact, alternates are not considered to be the one who goes for AMA oversight visits. And the member that you are deployed with in the portfolio committee must communicate with you whenever she's not available. But also, our secretary, usually she does communicate. I don't know this time with what happened, but let's apologize on behalf of all of them. Next time, we will make sure that you, if Mam Kaula is not available, that is communicated to you. I think the other good thing that we have done, Minister, is the portfolio committee in the school where we visited to go and check our sanitary dignity pads, where we discovered that the last time they were delivered last year, November. For this year, there's no sanitary dignity pads. There's no sanitary pads that were delivered at the school. Fortunately, the Department of Education confirmed, and the Department of Social Development confirmed. So, where is the money? Whether the service provider was paid or not, but according to the official who was reporting in our meeting from Social Development, those are some of the things that she was raising with us in the meeting, which she said she has reported. And the good thing that we have done also as the portfolio committee in that school is that the school governing body raised an issue of water, that they don't have water. And what we have done in that meeting, there was the district director from the Department of Education, and we asked them, can they assist the school with water? And you know, what was amazing is that the very same thing with our intervention in that oversight visit, the district director was able to commission a service provider because they already had three quotations. And that was commissioned that day. The following day, they were starting with digging that a borehole so that the school can receive water. So I think those are the interventions that as we do oversight, we try our level best to do. We don't just go and tick the rights and the wrongs. But we try also as the controller to make interventions where we can on things that are doable, that does not need the bureaucrats to come and do what, but those who are being employed in those positions to do their work, they are able to do their work. But thank you very much, honorable members, and
for all the input, over to you, Minister. Chair, sorry, before Minister Angela, Standard Sam, and Tony Patton, Social Network.
The person which to respect. I'm sorry before the minister. One small thing on the issue of the boreholes. Thank you very much, Chairperson. May you please note that I don't want to keep on appreciating. Chairperson, see the issue of boreholes. The number of schools problems, especially in rural areas. Or on Deben, there's no water almost the 6 months now. They do not have water. Secondly, what is happening here? I don't know how can government prioritize the issue of supplying schools with jojos so that when these water tanks come, they pour water in these jojos. Problem is the sickness. Water cans, they bring water with you go to Mbale number 6, North 54, there's no water. Also request that before the minister comes in, she must make sure schools provided, even clinics. Even if someone is injured there, you cannot get assistance in those clinics because there's no water, there are no boreholes. Thank you very much, Chairperson. May God bless you.
Thank you very much. Honorable members of the committee and departmental staff. It's my first meeting with the portfolio committee, as you are all aware. I've listened very carefully to the
I'm so sorry, Minister, your network is so bad. I'm struggling to hear you. Please, maybe if we can put the video off, Chair.
Yeah?
If Minister can put the video off because the network is so bad.
Oh, if she can switch off her video.
Actually, it comes to me, all of us.
Okay. Didi, can ask him, your minister to come switch off and come in again and log in again.
That we.
Yes, Chair, she will rejoin.
Yeah, that will be much better.
Is it any better? So the network usually doesn't work properly when there's no electricity. Is it any better?
Could you read them, Minister, if you can.
They can't hear me.
Oh, okay.
individual. You remember, Chair, on Tuesday, where I would be on Tuesday.
Yeah, you did.
Going to be problematic. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Am I audible now?
Yes, you are. You are audible now, Minister.
Am I audible now?
Yes, but I'll remind the Minister.
Am I audible or not?
Okay.
No, I'm just saying that I was saying because the man is giving straight. So I'm talking it means you are not.
Social Development
educate which province, in which province, whether it's education or it's social development, that is responsible for the sanitary dignity. Because you said in Mpumalanga, the official from social development said they received the sanitary dignity the last time in November. So I'm saying they might be responsible for procurement, but they are complaining to you to say they received them last year in November, and yet they are responsible for procurement. That's what I was saying, that they are responsible for procurement. And you know, Chairperson, if you interfere in procurement tomorrow, when there are challenges, they can even take you to court to say the Department of Women has interfered with the tender processes. It is the province that does the tendering of the sanitary dignity. Even though as a department, we do get involved. I will request Machoba to indicate how in Mpumalanga itself, the department intervened when we discovered that they are using expired sanitary dignity or those that are not according to standards, because the sanitary dignity framework does indicate the standard. It says that. And then I think it's similar to the rapid response team. There were issues about the rapid response team, Chairperson. The rapid response team, if you go to the National Strategic Plan on Gender-Based Violence and Femicide, it is the responsibility of of the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. However, the department, in order to ensure that the National Strategic Plan is implemented, started to facilitate. Now, a chief director who is responsible for the DDF at National at COCTA, Ms. Mohanua, is now responsible. They're taking responsibility to ensure that they take responsibility for the response, rapid response team. Because they are responsible to make sure that they function. They have to provide their budget. I know that in KZN, there were issues about the RRC not having funds. And we are not also given the funds. Chairperson, let me make an example. CARA, proceeds the agency that gives or that manages a process of crime a fund. It refused. The department is not responsible for addressing gender-based violence. It's the Department of Justice. It serves a social development in providing a certain care services. The money that was supposed to come to us, it went to social development, 40 million, the one that was given to civil society organizations, because sometimes they would say, it is not your responsibility. So some of the things were not in control of Chairperson. But Machoba, can you come in about the sanitary dignity, the issue of Mpumalanga?
Machoba has asked us on
what is the question of Mpumalanga.
When they reported to, I don't know whether it's a she or a he, when they reported to him about all the things that we have just mentioned, that the sanitary pads were not according to the standard, and they are going to cause infection to the girls. Remember, they can also cause cancer to the vagina, to the womb, because whatever that is there in those pets is not what is supposed to be there. So they reported to him. Up until today, they say he did not do anything. Remember, the department has got a responsibility, DG, to monitor and evaluate what is happening in other departments. So when they reported to him, what
do. Okay, over to you, Macho. Because we have never even reported to the portfolio committee that there is this thing. We were just shocked when
thank
we came to Malam.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, Minister, as well as the members of Parliament and colleagues.
Machoba, wait. Chairperson is kicked out. Megasapulum. I'm not sure whether Honorable Masite would want
to. And me too. I was kicked out.
The chairperson is on the platform. We can see her and we can hear you. I think you are the one that experienced
with a problem.
Oh, a problem. Yeah, the chairperson is here. We can see
okay.
her.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Machoba. You can continue.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, Minister, members, and colleagues. Allow me, Chairperson, to first speak about the Mpumalanga situation. And may I also proceed to just briefly inform you about the situation in Limpopo, Free State, as well as the issue that has been alluded to about the procurement process in KZN. Firstly, on the Mpumalanga issue, there is a general directive that is known by provinces that at procurement level, first and foremost, any service provider, be it a distributor or manufacturer, to be able to be eligible for distributing these well-needed products to learners, there must be SABS compliance, which means that when a tender is being undertaken by a province through the supply chain management officials, part of the requirements are that there must be an SABS test report that actually validates the fact that that particular service provider's products are SABS compliant. So it is a mystery how within the procurement process in Mpumalanga that due diligence was not done, because that is done right from the beginning. You do not qualify, you do not even, you are not even, for better words to use, you are not even shortlisted if you don't have that SABS certificate of compliance, which is a positive test report to attest that that product is compliant. When this issue, that is why we need to perhaps be guided by the chairperson in terms of the time, the issue that we are aware of took place in 2021-22 financial year, wherein a particular brand of sanitary pads called Blossom was indeed non-compliant with SABS norms and standards. In other words, it should not have been part of the products that were distributed in that financial year. Then we have evidence that we spoke with Mpumalanga, we have email validation of those correspondences. We even spoke to the implementing department, being the Department of Social Development, to ask them to immediately withdraw those products. And to our understanding, that was done. Then in 22-23 financial year, through the district development model, we went to Ngangala to visit some schools, especially in the Kwamhlanga.
Sorry to interject, Machoba?
Yes, ma'am.
To interject you, according to the report you have, you're saying those sanitary pads were withdrawn.
That is correct, ma'am.
That the report you got from which department, Department of Education, Provincial or Social Development?
All right, ma'am. Firstly, from the implementing department, that is the Department of Social Development. That was 2021-22. Then in 22-23, when we were on the ground in Ngangala, we had officials from the Department of Education, from Ngangala District, and one official from Nelspruit in the province, where when we went to those schools, indeed, the teachers as well as the learners indicated that those products were withdrawn. But if there is some information information that speaks to the contrary, we are willing to follow that. But that is how we actually followed through the matters and even went to Gangana to validate what the email had indicated to us that they were withdrawn.
It's a pity, Machoba, we can't tell you other information, but Tina will request your department to make a follow-up on the things that were raised with yourself and with the Department of Basic Education. We don't want to say anything, but Tina, what you are reporting, you must know, this is what you are telling us. And what you are saying, Tina, is what they told us in a meeting.
And I then know through you, I was going to ask through you, ma'am, if I could then avail information to Ms. Melissa Nobatan so that at least our version can be taken on board.
Yeah.
Thank you, ma'am. I will come back to the other aspects that also have a bearing on Mpumalanga, but can I just say, in terms of the Mpumalanga budget, and maybe before that, Mpumalanga has been one of the provinces that have been inconsistent in terms of the delivery of these well-needed products. We have been doing our monitoring and evaluation in the province. In terms of the budget for Mpumalanga, for instance, if you talk about 2023-24 financial year, their budget is basically 21,757,000 in terms of the program in itself. But also there is a challenge whereby the budget is not enough. That also tallies with the overall equitable share allocation. That is why we still need to go back to National Treasury to seek for more funds. For instance, in Mpumalanga, this is where the gap is. In Mpumalanga, in terms of the statistics that we got from the EMIS report at Department of Basic Education, there are about 385,000 learners in quintiles 1, 2, and 3. 385. And in terms of the number that Mpumalanga is able to reach thus far with their budget is 95,497 learners. And you can see discrepancy between 385,000 and the 95,000 that they are able to reach in terms of the allocated budget. So that does indicate that there's still more that needs to be done by way of engagements with National Treasury. That is why in Mpumalanga you may find that some schools do not receive these well-needed products at all. So this is a matter that we are following up. And then may I then smartly go to the situation in Limpopo, ma'am? In Limpopo, there was a procurement process problem as a result for the entirety of 22-23 financial year. Not a single head was received by learners because of discrepancies with the supply chain management process. And as a result, one of the service providers interdicted the department. In our meeting in March with the Limpopo Department of Education as the implementing department, they did not want to provide us the exact details of what happened in supply chain management. They were hiding behind the strategic role, but they have said that now they are going to directly take the budget to the schools and that the school authorities will actually conduct procurement processes. It's one of our worries at the moment, and DTC Shoghi can also attest to that, because we asked them, how efficient is that process of actually dispersing the money directly to school authorities to purchase these products? Also, do these school authorities, are they aware that they need to benefit the designated groups like women, youth, and persons with disabilities? But we have a process wherein we are interacting with Limpopo. They are going to come back to us because we said they need to give us a project plan in as far as how they are going to do this. But the most important issue is, again, the procurement process. And in three states, Chairperson, as well, for the entirety of 22-23 financial year, the learners did not give, or rather did not receive these well-needed products, despite the fact that for all these provinces, there is a budget. So that's an issue that I will come with a proposal towards the end, and I'm about to wrap up. Then in KZN, the Honorable Masiko spoke to the monopoly in as far as the service provider in that specific province. When, before our sanitary dignity project was inserted in 2019, KZN already in 2016, through their own budget, had a program of a similar nature, not in all respects. And they used a service provider called Access Medical, which is basically based in Verulam in the north of Durban. They went through that process through a provincial transversal contract. In other words, they piggybacked on an existing contract of the Department of Health. And the limitation of that was that already the specifications, the evaluations, and the adjudications were already done. So they just had to piggybacked on a contract that was already there. That was imperfect for the particular program of ours because it did not take into consideration the issue of empowerment of women, youth and persons with disabilities. Then we agreed, Chairperson, with KZN Department of Education that at the lapse of that contract, because the anomaly was that the contract is already on, there's nothing that we can do about it. But then there was a pledge from KZN Department of Education that at the expiry of that contract, they will go through a normal open competitive bidding process wherein they will ensure that there is no monopoly, because also besides it being a monopoly, that company is male owned. That is the reality. So we indicated therefore that they need to then go through that open competitive bidding process and ensure that service providers are composed of women, youth and persons with disabilities. Indeed, they went through that, Chairperson. But surprisingly, once again, they appointed Access Medical. The only exception now is that Access Medical is a manufacturer. Then they subcontracted to 12 service providers that are women-owned. They've given us that information. Now, what we are doing is we're trying to validate whether those 12 service providers that now apparently take these products directly to the schools, that is their distributors, are they indeed, you know, women-owned companies? So that is the issue. But then as I wrap up, Chairperson, when it comes to procurement, that is the elephant in the room in provinces, because some delay, there is litigation, but of course there are good news stories about some provinces that do not have these problems, and also they do appoint women, mostly women-owned and youth-owned service providers, but unfortunately, most of them are distributors rather than manufacturers, because there's still very few and far in between if you talk about local South African-owned manufacturers. Now, as I conclude, Chair, what we are currently doing now is we've initiated a discussion with National Treasury in as far as possibilities of a transversal contract, wherein the specifications, the evaluation, the adjudication is done at National Treasury, which will also ensure that there is standardization, which will ensure that the pricing is standardized, the specifications, which will also ensure that these products arrive at schools in the right quantity, in the right quality, and at the right time. But also, most importantly, a transversal contract is not necessarily a national contract solely concluded by National Treasury. Provinces are also invited to be part of the specification process as well as the evaluation process, but not on the adjudication. So it doesn't wholly exclude provinces, but it's a better efficient method if you really want to mitigate issues of ensuring that these learners get these products on time. And also from a budgetary point of view, it allows then us to really look at what are the real gaps in terms of rents and cents. And when we engage Treasury, knowing that these are the actual amounts, you know, these are the, if you talk about province A, if you want to give to the entirety of the learners in that province, this is actually the right costing, this is the right budget. But now, it's very difficult to do that because apply the program, and some obviously would delay processes and litigations. It doesn't give a nice national picture that allows us to go to National Treasury and come with a very valid point in as far as what we would want a future budget to look like. Thank you, Chairperson.
I think for the way forward, honourable members, Machoba, I think what you need to do, you see, I was listening to your presentation now, but here I have a message coming from Honourable Shlomo, which she sent to me last night. It talks about Umjindi Circuit. Umjindi Circuit was one of the districts that the Department of Social Development said they submitted, they supplied the sanitary pads in the schools. She wrote to me, there are three schools, primary, that are said to be receiving. Amon Nkosi has never received sanitary towels from the department. Fairview Primary received 100 last year. Capville has never received any sanitary towels from the department. So this is what the circuit manager, this information she was given by the circuit manager, but because when we go to provinces, what we do, we delegate honorable members to make follow-ups on other things that when we were there as the portfolio committee, we were not able to finalize. So this is a report that she has sent to me as the chair. So the best thing, because you have a responsibility to monitor compliance and whether they must, remember, they must also account for the money that has been sent to them. I spoke to the DG regarding this program, the Sanitary Dignity Pads. I'm sure we need to have a comprehensive report from yourself in all provinces as the portfolio committee, so that we are able to make a recommendation and on all the things that we have discovered. All, yeah, because others they will need a scopa to call them. That article 8.5 million, I'm not sure what you're aware of it. Yes, in Mpumalanga, which is a very big scandal, it's a corruption. I didn't hear you reporting about it. So we need a comprehensive report on this program so that we are able, because we'll want the department to make further investigation on whether this program is benefiting the intended beneficiaries or what is going on, so that we call in National Treasury. You know, it's easy for us as a portfolio committee to call in National Treasury, and what you are saying the department is intending to do with National Treasury on the transversal locution issue. So we need everybody in one room and discuss with National Treasury, find the best way of dealing with this program once and for all. There's no way that will people who are intended to benefit, they're not benefiting. It's only service providers that are benefiting from this program. They're not even supplying those sanitary pads to the schools, but they're claiming money. Government is paying money to them, whereas there is no delivery. So we need to get, if the service providers, the report is there in Mpumalanga, Machoba. It was reported to us. That's why I need to note that we do have a report. And they were complaining about you not doing some other things. But not for now. For today, we're just mentioning this project, this program, yes, Sanitary Dignity Pass. And we are going to make recommendations anyway as the portfolio committee. Because when you do in Lokujana, your APP, these are some of the things that need to reflect in your targets when you do monitoring and evaluation with regards to this program. But
let's go to straight to your APP DG. If there are no hands from honourable members, or there's the hands, Yaga, Nomsa, honourable Matensi, sorry.
Okay, thank you, Chair, and good morning to everyone. I don't want to repeat what you've said, but it's basically on the sanitary pads. So I think, you know, you're going to say that, you know, we need to find the policy and maybe stick based on the policy and advice from there. I think it's a good idea, because I'm concerned about the fact that, you know, the department in... I think you're saying in Mpumalanga that you're paying 36 rand for a pack of 10. So, and that is actually the reason why they're unable to, you know, to have all the other schools also receiving the pads, because, you know, as you can see that the money is really is like, is being allocated to the, to a service provider, to say they are the ones that are getting, you're benefiting from this. So I just want to find out across the provinces, what is the price of this, the pack of 10? How much are they charging? If maybe we can have an understanding of that, so that we can be able to, you know, exactly like the bottom line, what is the amount that has been, you know, charged per pack in across the provinces? Because 36 rand is a little bit too much, and I think that is something that has been alluded to by the different members, to say that I think the provinces are paying too much for this. And how much are we expected? Is there a price that the department has put down to say that we cannot go beyond this, so that we can be able to distribute more of this pet? Thank you. That's all for me.
Thank you very much, Honorable Namsa. Honorable Sherry.
Thank you. Excuse me. Thank you very much, Chairperson. A couple of things, Chair. I find it very upsetting that Mr. Machoba will come to this committee and tell us things that we know. In 2021, Chair, we had all provinces coming to the committee to speak about, report on the sanitary dignity program, and we picked up these issues in 2021 already. And so if you remember, we made recommendations when we sat for about 2 or 3 days going through every single province that came to report to us in terms of the sanitary dignity program. So what Mr. Machoba is telling us is not nothing new. In fact, what he should be telling us is what mitigating factors are they putting in place to ensure that these things don't happen anymore. So in terms of monitoring and evaluation, you made a very good point. Where is the due diligence from the department side? Because if the department is doing proper monitoring and evaluation, they would have picked these things up and they would have fixed it, or in the process of fixing it already. In terms of Mpumalanga, Chair, I mentioned in that meeting that we saw targets being decreased while the budget is increasing. So those are not getting sanitary pads because the money is not being spent on procuring sanitary pads. Number one, that is something that we need to be aware of in terms of why girls are not receiving their sanitary pads. Next, Chair, what is the point of the SDP, of the Sanitary Dignity Program framework? Right? The framework is meant to monitor and evaluate provinces in terms of implementing, procuring, distributing sanitary pads. We already know that there's no manufacturing happening. As the previous minister had told us about the SADS approval and the machinery and so on and so forth. So that is the next issue, Chair. Again, as Honorable Masiko has said, what is the plan to make it uniform? As Honorable Machesi asked, what is provinces paying? It varies. It varies. Some provinces are paying 18 rand. Some provinces are paying 36 rand. Some provinces are paying, you know, between 18 and 36. There's no uniformity across provinces. So what is the department doing to start ensuring uniformity? And then, Chair, Mr. Machoba then says that they're going to call in National Treasury for the transversal contract. That's all good and well. There has to be something that, you know, goes across all provinces. But again, shouldn't the SDP framework come into play when it comes to contracts, procurements, distribution? Chair, it makes me very angry when the department, and they do this all the time, Chairperson, shift the blame to other departments, saying that other departments are not implementing, they're not reporting, they're not doing this, they're not doing that, and then bringing excuses saying that, oh, the department throws us, and other departments are throwing us under the bus, but I'm telling you, we've done everything that we have to do. That's not acceptable, Chairperson. I'm so sorry. That is so not acceptable. The fact that money is being sent to provinces in order to procure sanitary pads for girls that cannot afford sanitary pads is a massive problem. In this country, women and girls are treated as second-class citizens, and this is one of the reasons why. We can't have girls wearing cloths and leaves and dirtying themselves and having no dignity going to school, and most of them don't even go to school, Chairperson, when they are on their seniors, because of things like this. And this is why the SDP is so important, to ensure that dignity is brought back to girls in this country. And the department is failing. So, Chair, I would want to agree with you that we recommend that, number one, a full report must be sent on the SDP, including a progress report on the implementation of the SDP framework. We must know what is happening with the implementation, and how is the department monitoring and evaluating. But above that, when they find issues, how are they fixing it? What is the mitigating factors that they have in place to ensure that girls in Mpumalanga, girls in KZN, girls in Gauteng, girls in Free State, girls in Limpopo is actually receiving and benefiting from this program? Chair, I just want to say again, I'm sick and tired of the department coming to Portfolio Committee, shifting the blame and giving us excuses. We want to see action, and we want to see action now. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sharif. Over to you, DJ. There's no other member. Over to you, DJ.
Sorry, Chair.
Thank you very much,
Chair. I'm still in my love.
I see the hand of Mam Sonti and Mam Kaula. Mam Sonti?
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, I think this program of sanitary towels was not improper from the beginning. Why I'm saying this, Chair, there are many schools who are not receiving the sanitary towels, and fewer who are receiving. I think it needs to be monitored and evaluated. It shows that others in this process are just benefiting children, our children. Can I continue, Chair? Chair?
Continue, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. Did you hear me for the first?
Yes.
Oh, thank you so much. Also, again, Chair, even those the pairs which are distributed to the other schools right now are cheaper, not stronger and healthy, which is a danger to our children. And Chair, those who are benefiting wrongly, they must be investigated and accountable for what they are doing for this money, because the money is going out, but there is nothing which is happening to the school for our children. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mam Sonti, Mam Kaula.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Mina ngizothanda nje imvume yakho, Chairperson.
Permission, Chairperson. I just wanted to hit her. Mashaba. Then Mr. Mashaba is not helping. I said, oh, why am I saying that? Firstly, should be giving us concrete evidence in such and such a place, the sanitary have been received so that they are up to standard. There's no one who doesn't know that for anything, even building material should have an EPS stamp. I'm referring to Mr. Mashaba because he is not helping us at all to make sure that things are going well. I also want him to answer me. If the portfolio committee did not do oversight in Mpumalanga and found this, this action would be continued until when? I'm very much grateful to the portfolio committee for the good work that they've done. It shows that they love. Let me go to the suppliers. Be able to see that the suppliers are supplying correctly, doing their job accordingly, all over. For an example, I'll also be like Honorable Dongo. Stephen Cape, they know nothing about the sanitary travel issues. I don't know whether they write reports to say they've been sent or have not. Is it in Kanda and in schools that are in rural areas, the issue of sanitary towels is not known. Person. Let me go back to the issue of the supplier. The question is, why don't they take local people within the community? And it should be their motion supply. It should be females, it could be females, disabled, or the youth. The ones will be able to account. Let me go to the SCP. School governing bodies. We've got a serious problem with them. Do you still hear me, Chairperson? Hello, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm listening to you. I can hear you. Thank you.
Governing board. What?
I'm experiencing a serious problem with the SGP. The reason that SGPs were, you know, formulated, the main aim was that they were supposed to eat, that the funds of the school are managed properly. I am saying this is the issue of the suppliers. I want Mashoko to also look into this or include this. In case that we have that children did not receive food because of one supplier who did not supply food, was only supplying food verbally. These suppliers, they do as they please because there is no one who's monitoring. In Packet Primary School, there's a case whereby I ended up sending the Human Rights Commissioner, Mrs. Ndudi, to go and investigate where children, they are given food. They say black people anything. So because they are representing us, do they follow up to make sure that these suppliers are doing their right job? They end up use of the sanitary towels is bad and painful. Mr. Mashoba must tell us as to how is he helping us there. Presently or currently, a number of schools don't have water. Children end up going to the bushes. No, Mr. Mashoba, we are begging you in Uganda, Japan, in Eastern Cape, even in the Bombo, children do not receive these sanitary towels. May you please explain, Chairperson? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kaula and Honorable Sondi. DG, can we go straight to the your ACP?
Yes, Chair, but I would like also to indicate before I go to the ACP that I think the honorable members were not listening when Mashoba indicated most of the things that they've raised. Mashoba indicated that the department is doing something to intervene.
Point of order, Chair. Point of order.
Yes, the
also
order
indicated that we met with the Minister of Finance so that the transfer.
Sorry, DG. Honorable Sheriff.
Chair, point of order, Chair. I don't think it's right for the DG to come and say to us that honorable members are not listening. Chair, we listen very intensely to what the department says. That is why we have comments. So if the DG can please withdraw that, because it's very insulting.
In fact, it's a pity that DG doesn't know what we know. In fact, we're going to say that report of Mashoba is misleading. But we are trying our level best to be professional. You see, when we raise things, DG, as the portfolio committee, we raise things because we've got inside information in black and white. So sometimes we keep it professional, that we don't want to embarrass each other in meetings. That's why we say what we want, a comprehensive report from Mashoba. We don't want to embarrass the officials in front of everyone listening to the portfolio committee. We know things that you don't know. And if you can say them here, it's going to embarrass your department. So we are trying our level best. We heard you. That's why I even mentioned it. That way, okay. We'll want a comprehensive report from Mashoba. Because remember, what Mashoba is saying and what was reported in our meeting is different. So we want a comprehensive report from Mashoba on all the things that we have said in the meeting. And then we'll want a thorough investigation, and that investigation, it must not be done by Mashoba or your DDD short. They are the ones who are dealing with this problem. It must be investigated by other people, not them. So we will want National Treasury, National Treasury, to be part of the meeting so that we want to find an amicable solution on how are we going to deal with this problem and ensure that this program, it benefits our young girls at schools. Because for now, what we discovered, it's not on. So let's leave this thing of responding, because DG, when you take what the officials are giving you, till now we go on site. So let's get to the APP.
Thank you, Chairperson. Who's flighting Val?
I'm Cheryl.
morning, good morning, DG, good morning, Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee.
Please go straight to the slide to background, because I think we've lost most of the time. I won't go through, even the background, I'll just go through quickly. Chairperson, thank you for giving us an opportunity to come and present the APP.
Thank you, DJ.
And to indicate up front that there will be an addendum and an erratum to the ATP, because there were things that have been raised or the priorities that have been included by the minister that we have to include in the ATP and that we have to table with the portfolio committee. However, the priorities have been included in the presentation so that we are able to present on that, and the amendments that we'll make also will be indicated as I present. Thank you. As the committee is aware that on the 29th of May 2019, the president announced the national executive and their respective portfolios of the civil administration. The announcement set the basis for the reconfiguration of the government department, measures of departments, name changes, and transfer of certain functions. The mandate of the department was expanded to include youth and persons with disabilities. This necessitated the department to be involved in the national macro organization of government, the NMOC of 2019 process to manage the transition to the new administration. Department conducted a strategy planning session in 2019 to respond to the expanded mandate, where the minister gave strategic direction for the 5 years. The department in 2020-2021 financial year conducted another strategic planning session where there were revisions of the strategic plan for 2020-2025. The revision was on the outcomes and included the district development modules. As a result, the executive authority directed the department to revert back to its initial mandate and addendum to the ATP arising from a retreat planning session convened by the executive authority. As indicated when I started that, the revision now resulted in the need to amend the ATP to include an addendum and the erratum, specifically with the RRTs, the rapid response team, and other priorities, including the sanitary dignity program, will also amend the ATP with regard to that. The district development model has been revised to focus on 10 poor districts identified nationally. Previously, you know that we were focusing on Kangala only. However, with the minister coming in, the new executive authority, she indicated that the department is responsible for all the districts. However, in order for us, because taking into consideration that we are a small department that is structured and resourced to fail, we cannot be able to work with all 52 districts. So we identify 10 poor districts so that we can be able to work with them and facilitate certain programs in those provinces. The 10 poorest districts are Alfonso, Amatole, Umzinyati, O.R. Tambo, Umkanyagude, Ulundi, Chris Hani, Erigwala, Dr. Ruth Sukhomosi, and Joe Gabi. socio-economic transformation and implementation of the empowerment and participation of women, youth, and persons with disabilities through mainstreaming, advocacy, monitoring, and evaluation. And the institutional policies and strategies over the five-year planning period are the gender, the Women Empowerment and Gender Equality Bill, Disability Rights Bill, reviewing of the National Youth Policy and its monitoring and evaluation framework, and the amendment of the National Youth Development Agency Act. One act that was forgotten here is the one on the National Council on Gender-Based Violence. Our vision is rights of women, youth, and persons with disabilities realized, which means that all will be equal at that time, or all should be equal. The mission is to provide strategic leadership, coordination, and oversight to government departments and the country in mainstreaming empowerment programs on women, youth, and persons with disabilities. I'll skip the demo, they are clear. And government MTSF priorities for the 6th administration. The Department of Women, Youth, and Persons with Disabilities ensures that interventions aimed at implementing the priorities adopted by the 6th administration result in advancement, empowerment, and development of women, youth, and persons with disabilities by guiding policy and legislation. I won't go through the 7 priorities because I believe that all of us know the priorities. I'll go to the next page in order to allow the content of the APP to be focused on. The philosophy behind the current financial year priorities is that in the last year of the 6th administration, we are advocating for a significant change in the Department of Women, Youth, and Persons with Disabilities positioning and character. Our proposal is to transform the ministry into an effective advocacy, project management, and implementation arm of the presidency with matters relating to the well-being and advancement of the interests of women, youth, and persons with disabilities. We hope that by doing so, we will be able to make the most of the presidency's available resources to drive impactful projects that benefits the country's most vulnerable citizens. To accomplish this before the end of May 2023, we intend to conceptualize, model, and cost at least 5 special projects and to prioritize implementing these projects in the country's 10 poorest districts where the greatest need exists. On advocacy, we will continue to engage all stakeholders working on the well-being and interests of women, youth, and persons with disabilities to ensure support and optimal functioning of their machinery with available means. To this end, we intend to establish a community and constituency-based and targeted radio stations to ensure seamless communication and dissemination of information and receive feedback about opportunities and government collective work in support of women, youth, and persons with disabilities. We hope to be a capacity I'm not sure whether there's someone speaking. We hope to be a capacity that, through research and analysis, forecast change in time to do something about it by providing foresight and insight about impending change, which may be positive or negative to the well-being and livelihoods of women, youth, and persons with disabilities. As a department, we have decided that we will prioritize programs of youth unemployment and gender-based violence to be dealt with by government as a national disaster. stand on the issue of youth unemployment and gender-based violence as a national disaster. Chairperson, we're trying to model what was happening during COVID, where all government departments had to make sure that they redirect certain resources towards COVID. So now, with regard to gender-based violence and unemployment, the minister will be presenting in cabinet the concept document and the cabinet memo to request cabinet to approve that gender-based violence be treated as a disaster, so that we can report the way it was reported during COVID-19, but also resources be brought together, because gender-based violence has reached the level of crisis. It is definitely a crisis in our country. But also the issue of youth unemployment. A minister also will be submitting a CAB memo and a concept document to cabinet in order to ensure that national youth services are expanded to ensure that young people are able to get jobs. All government departments contribute to the TET, but also all government departments redirect their resources in order to be able to bring on board young people, but especially the national defense, the South African National Defense Force, because it is big, it is a country in its own, which can be able to provide services for young people in diverse sectors within itself. Next. Yes, Chairperson.
I want to suggest to make a proposal so that I assist you and honorable members so that you don't present everything in that document, because at least you tabled your APP early, and we have read your document. Maybe let's go to the change mandate of the department, which is slide 4, slide 7, legislative priorities, slide 8, we have Barapas.
Yes, 4.
4, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Highlights on human resource issues, slide 17 and 18, the targets from slide 21 to 50, and then CFO will then go to slide 53 to 64 and slide 66 and 67. And slide 68, yeah?
Yes.
And till now we focus mainly on things that you have tabled as the department, and then and then if there's any error time in NIO, we can then give it to the portfolio committee after the budget vote. It's okay. Yeah. Well?
Okay, thanks, Chair.
Yeah.
Just
highlight. We are happy, in fact, that you changed your mandate. You went back to the initial mandate. We are very happy about that. So you can do it like that, so that just talk, highlight, you know, the critical issues, important issues and priorities and so forth.
Okay. Page 4, I had already gone past it, and I'll go straight to page 7.
All right. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah.
On slide 7, well, okay, yeah, the legislative priorities are the National Council on Gender-Based Violence and Femicide Bill. It is in Parliament. However, a letter is coming, Chairperson, where we are requesting that it be 1976 bill instead of Section 75, but we'll discuss it later. Also, the National Amendment Bill is also tabled in Parliament. Both the National Council on Gender-Based Violence and the NYDA have been now advertised by Parliament for public consultation. The promotion of women's rights, empowerment, and gender equality bill is still it will be going through the DG clusters and cabinet in order for us to be able to table it in Parliament. And the constitutional amendment, even though it's not done by the department, it's done by the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development. However, the department has an interest because of our constituents. And then on slide 8, yes, slide. Okay, we're on slide 8. Thank you, Chairperson. As indicated that the minister, when we went to the retreat, the day the portfolio committee was in Mpumalanga, we had a retreat with the minister. That is why the senior managers were not able to come. At that retreat, there were priorities that have been agreed upon that will result in us tabling and amended ATP and addendum to the ATP, and some as indicated that there will be an erratum because of the priorities that now have been decided on. Under disability, the priorities are on the establishment of the practice manuals. There are challenges whether for government and private sector and civil society in terms of understanding some of the disabilities. Therefore, the department will be developing the 6 manual on mental health, autism, epilepsy, acceptable terminology on disability, wheelchair provision, deaf and blind disabilities. We will also prioritize education, advocacy and awareness around the prevention of discrimination and violence against persons with persons with albinism. I think Chairperson and the members know that we have a serious problem in South Africa where persons with albinism are targeted because of certain myths and beliefs. We will also support the development of the, no, my apology, it's a mistake here, the framework on self-representation has been developed by the department. It was even tabled, however, cabinet sent it back so that certain definitions can be addressed in that framework. So we will table it in cabinet. In terms of the report,
which one is that, DG? Which framework, one is that? Which framework have you tabled to cabinet and was sent back?
Bullet 3, the self-representation. Here it says we'll also support the development. It's a mistake. It says a framework on self-representation by and for persons with disabilities. We have already developed it. I'm rectifying the first part, which says we will also support the development of a framework. I'm saying the framework has already been developed and it was tabled when we're tabling the other four. However, but this one was sent back so that we can address some of the issues that were identified. back to cabinet.
Okay.
After approval, it will be gazetted. The other three have been gazetted. And on international instruments, reporting on national and international instruments, we are reporting always. However, we will be working together with a certain partnership to do research on compliance with the frameworks. For example, the National Home Builders Registration Council and the Department of Public Works, in order to ensure that all government, all public buildings are accessible to persons with disabilities. The next one is about climate change. we will be cooperating with universities and other stakeholders in order to conduct a research on climate change adaptation for persons with disabilities, how it impacts on persons with disabilities. On the next slide, the three slides, yeah, which talks about rallying of all government departments. The approach here on unemployed, on youth unemployment as a national crisis, is that it's not just the department, but every government department must treat it as a crisis and redirect resources towards creating employment for young persons so that we can reduce the unemployment rate. Also, as indicated, that a revitalized, defense-led, and all of government approach to national youth services will be implemented. Also, we will do an evaluation and strengthening of existing youth employment programs. We will be evaluating all the programs, the presidential youth programs and other youth programs that are funded, to look at what is their impact? Are they really reducing the rate of unemployment within the country? I will skip to the next page. Or 11, slide 11. Yes, I think this slide is important because the errata will also come from this slide. I think what's important, similar to what was said in slide 9, we are going to rally all government departments to treat and respond to gender-based violence as a national crisis. The president has already said it's a pandemic when we have COVID. But however, it was not treated as a pandemic because not all government departments redirected their resources to address gender-based violence. But also in terms of communication, the way it was communicated, it wasn't communicated similar to COVID-19. So now we want everyone to take it serious as they did COVID-19. On the next slide, we say 18 gender-based violence femicide rapid response team established at district municipalities level. We are going to amend it because already there are 34 rapid response teams established in the provinces. However, they are not functional, most of them. So the minister has instructed that we should, rather than establishing more RRTs that are going not to be that are not going to be functional, we would rather strengthen the existing ones. So we are going to amend the ACT to remove the establishment of the 18, but include the strengthening of the already existing one. So that is one of the errata that would be coming included in the amended ATP that will come to the portfolio committee. With regard to partnering with research institutions to conduct comprehensive research into the drivers of gender-based violence in our communities. It's going to be an error term. However, the research has already started on the drivers. There is the prevalence research that is conducted from the presidency. So we still cooperate with them. I would like to go to the second last bullet. We say we will lead the conceptualization and establishment of a cooperative bank. This is to respond to the issue of a lack of financial inclusion for women. Women contribute to the bank through stockers and other means. However, women cannot access funds. Women, when they want loans to start their businesses, they cannot be able to get to access loans from the normal banks. So we are facilitating the establishment of a cooperative bank so that women can learn to have their own bank and borrow each other money in order for them to be able to start their own businesses. We know that it's a long process, however, we will facilitate that. I would like to hand over to Juval to present page 17, from page 17.
Okay, over to you, Val.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've already expressed my greetings earlier. Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee, the department in the internal environment, which is looking inside how we are resourced, we have an organizational structure which were approved in 2019 through the NMOC. But however, the latest on this is that we do have an approved structure which has been conquered by both our current minister and the minister of the PSA, and this was concluded during April. So the NMOC process, when it took place, you'll recall that it did not allow for the restructuring of functions for the newly established department. And in addition, this had affected the capacity of the department to augment to the extent that we had capacity issues being the budget and human resources. And from the analysis of the departmental mandate and the strategic intention, it was apparent that the startup organizational structure was inappropriate. So the proposed structure that I'm referring to, although it does not address the resourcing requirement of the whole department, it had led to some of the posts that I will also indicate in the next slide, which had been approved. These additional, the department will recall, Chairperson, when we came to the Portfolio Committee with National Treasury and DPWI, where you convened the meeting, that in that meeting we indicated that the department was going to realize savings on the budget based on the move to the new premises. We saved money which we had requested to fund additional 18 posts to supplement capacity across the programs of the department. And this approval has been achieved. So we will be advertising those 18 ASD posts which will be funded by the savings from the rental budget, the accommodation budget. So CFO in her presentation will also have a report on that. In addition, one of the two posts, the Director International Relations, has been unfunded to fund the post of a Director HRM, which is a critical function in the department. The Chief Director Corporate Management has been working for years without the director that looks at the human resource management for the department. And I've already indicated that on the 24th of March, the Minister of Public Service and Administration concurred with redesigned organizational structure, and the revised structures and the post-establishment have been now approved by the minister in April. The department had simultaneously embarked on an exercise to define an ideal organizational structure and post-establishment that would adequately resource the department. This work will be ongoing and it will take place over the MTEF. The MTEF HR plan was also approved by the former executive authority on the 31st of March 2021, and we were, in terms of the plan, we identified four strategic interventions which are to redesign and implement a revised organizational structure to support the strategic objectives to implement a workplace skills plan, to establish comprehensive, fully capacitated employee health and wellness program, and to establish a comprehensive and fully capacitated labor relations unit for the department. And this HR plan is monitored and evaluated by the HR Management Committee on a quarterly basis. We provide the report through the Management Committee, which is chaired by the Accounting Officer. Chairperson, there are still human resourcing challenges that the department is facing, which we believe that they will be addressed as we move forward. I'm going to move to slide 21, as indicated, to 50, which is the progress of the department in administration. Our purpose, we provide strategic leadership management and services to the department. I will go to slide 22 and take you through the planned targets. I'm going to focus on the output, what we want to deliver under this program. We want to ensure that the department obtains an unqualified audit opinion on predetermined objectives and compliance matters. This refers to the performance targets that we will be bringing on a quarterly basis to the portfolio committee. We will also have a business continuity plan approved in case of a disaster. The department is required through our risk management unit to have a business continuity plan which is approved and which will then determine how we then manage the disaster that may be facing the department. And then we're going to, under financial, the sub-program financial management, will have an output of ensuring that all valid invoices are paid within 30 days. And we will, this sub-program will also ensure that the department obtains an unqualified audit opinion on annual financial statements. And on the procurement spent on entities owned by women, we have a planned 40% procurement spent on entities owned by women. In corporate management, we will be looking at timers filling of funded vacancies and maintain a vacancy rate of less than 10%. We'll also be monitoring the implementation of the human resource plan of the department and produce four reports on the progress that the department is making. Then in IT, we have a master information technology strategy and plan, which we will make sure that it responds to the needs of the programs when they implement the programs of the department and produce four reports on how we are implementing this strategy and the plan. Chairperson, slide 23 speaks to the planned performance of program one over the MTEF. So this slide, if you look at what I have presented, it will then focus on the annual target. So I won't go through it. In slide 24, the purpose of the program, which is mainstreaming women's rights and advocacy, is to promote good governance regarding the rights and transformation of the social and economic empowerment of women. They have two sub-programs in this program, and the vote for the Commission for Gender Equality is also located in this program to be transferred to the CGE. There are a plan for this financial year, Chairperson. The first output is to ensure that the department has a socio-economic empowerment index developed. They will do by ensuring that at the end of the financial year, they prepare a progress report on the implementation of the socio-economic empowerment index. And we will also implement 4 interventions that support economic empowerment and participation and ownership for women, youth, and persons with disabilities. We'll also have a strategy for economic empowerment of women, youth, and persons and persons with disabilities implemented in this financial year. The progress report will be developed at the end of the financial year on the implementation of the strategy. The Wekona provincial rollout will be implemented in this program. The plan is that is to take the women economic assembly nationally and roll it out in all provinces in this current financial year, and monitor how provinces are implementing the Women Economic Assembly. Under social empowerment, the sanitary dignity implementation framework by provinces will be monitored, and we have also planned to have interventions to support social empowerment and participation of women, youth, and persons with disabilities monitored. On the social empowerment of women sub-program, this is where our work on the gender-based violence, the implementation of the National Strategic Plan on Gender-Based Violence happens. We have planned to have all national departments who have a responsibility in line with the 6 pillars of the NSP monitored, and we will be producing monthly reports which get tabled at the presidency, and we will share those reports with the portfolio committee. And under this monitoring of the NSP, we have 9 provincial, we planned for 9 provincial departments and 9 municipalities plans will also be monitored. DG has already indicated that the 18 rapid response teams established target will be, we will table an erratum to strengthen the number is 35 RRTs that are currently in place. We want to strengthen those, so we will table an erratum as directed by the minister. We will also have the comprehensive national GBVF prevention strategy monitored and produce 2 reports on the monitoring thereof. The National Gender Machinery will be convened. We will convene 2 meetings in this financial year. And I'm going to keep the MTF plan as it aligns with the current plan. In Program 3, Chairperson, the output that is planned under sub-program, let me start with the purpose. They provide research, knowledge management, international relations, stakeholder management and monitoring and evaluation for women, youth and persons with disabilities. We have 3 sub-programs in this program. The first sub-program, research and knowledge management, their outputs are integrated knowledge hub piloted. They will produce 2 progress reports on the piloting of the phase 2 of the Knowledge Hub. And they will also commission research on government priorities. And there will be a report produced on compliance with international and regional instruments on women empowerment commitments that the country is signatory to. And under monitoring and evaluation sub-program, the sub-program will look at monitoring gender-responsive planning and budgeting, monitoring and evaluation and auditing framework. Here, the annual target that we have set is that we should report on 10 national departments that are implementing a GRPP MEAF framework, how they are doing and supporting the implementation of the framework. The next output is they will produce a monitoring report on the status of the empowerment of women, youth and persons with disabilities, and there is an evaluation on women, youth and persons with disabilities. Persons with disabilities responsive evaluation that will be conducted in this sub-program. On the sub-program, international relations, stakeholder management and capacity building, the sub-program will look at women, youth and persons with disabilities, international relations strategy implemented and produced for status reports in that regard. Then the stakeholder management, we have an output of convening 12 stakeholder engagement on the empowerment of women, youth and persons with disabilities conducted, and the 4 community mobilization initiatives which will be implemented in this sub-program. Chairperson, I'm moving to present the targets for Program 4. The purpose of Program 4 is to promote good governance regarding the rights and transformation of the social and economic empowerment of youth and persons with disabilities. In this program, we have the advocates and mainstreaming for the rights of youth sub-program, the advocacy mainstreaming and advocacy and mainstreaming for the rights of persons with disabilities sub-program. Here, we also have the governance and administration sub-program, which in the budget program structure is combined with the advocacy and mainstreaming. The vote for the budget for the National Youth Development Agency is transferred and monitored from this the youth program. I will then move to present the outputs on the youth sub-program. The National Youth Policy implementation will be monitored and the reports will be made available to the Portfolio Committee on the implementation of the National Youth Policy. The South African Youth Development Bill will be processed to Cabinet in this financial year. The monitoring of the National Youth Development Agency happens in this program, and the monitoring thereof is a mandatory indicator, as the NYDA is our entity. The colleagues in this sub program, they monitor how they are implementing their APP and the vote that they transferred budget to them. And they would then develop a report that advises the minister on how the NYGA is implementing its plan target and how they are spending their budget. The youth missionaries here will be convened. They convened 4 meetings per financial year. Chairperson, on the advocacy and mainstreaming for the rights of persons with disabilities, we have planned to have a disabilities awareness conducted. We have planned to, and those will be on the 365 days and the Disability Rights Awareness Month, which is in November, which they always implement. The implementation of the four frameworks will be monitored, as indicated by the DG. These are frameworks that in the our previous APP were approved by cabinet, so they will be monitoring government on the implementation of the framework. The disabilities awareness conducted, we planned to develop 5 advocacy manuals on disabilities. In the earlier slides, the areas that will be prioritized are included in the slides that DG presented on priorities. The advocacy and mainstreaming strategy will be produced. Here we in this financial year we will make sure that we have a draft of that mainstreaming strategy produced, and the rights of persons with disability machinery, we will convene 2 meetings in this financial year. In the sub-program governance and compliance, we have planned to yes, Chairperson.
Legislation, I don't see a disability bill being prioritized. And I think that was something that you were working on as the department, and it was supposed to be part of this financial year. Remember, we invited the law in that law reform commission and the presidential working group, presidential disability group, committee in the portfolio committee, which they came and make a presentation on the work that they've done so far. Together with yourselves, I don't remember who was sitting in those meetings. And sorry,
it must have been Putti. She works with the bill.
Yeah, and we agreed that bill, it will be done this financial year, so that at least as a country we are having an act, no more OS paper. So I'm worried. I don't see it. I've been trying to read your report, and I don't see it. And it was supposed to be part of the your annual targets and in terms of in legislation.
Okay.
So I don't know. Because how are you going to report as a department that for 5 years you have done nothing in terms of the rights of persons with disabilities?
Chair, if I may be allowed.
Yes, DG.
Thank you. Chairperson, since we came with a what do they call it, research, whatever that South African Law Reform Commission, yeah, the South African Law Reform Commission, since we appeared before the portfolio committee until today, we have been pushing them to publish the discussion document. Because normally when they publish, they do not consult everyone. They will send it to universities and a few departments and whatever. So as a department, we get involved and go and consult the sectors and different people. So we've been waiting to get the discussion paper. At the presidential working group on disability meeting that we had with the president, the Minister of Justice was invited. One of the things that he was supposed to report on was the bill. So he said, no, it will be the discussion paper will be published and we are going to fast track it. But even now, it's not yet a fast track. And we had a meeting with the president. In March, with the current of justice was called to come and account on why the bill takes this long, and he said it will be prioritized.
We now we are issue, but it's not covered in your report, and I'm worried because you see when your people measure your performance in terms of legislation, then the numbers will nil zero.
We didn't put it in the APP chairperson because we're not in control of it, but it's in our operational plan, the consultation on the discussion paper. But the challenge is that we have to wait for the discussion paper to be published so that we can be able to do that work. That's the challenge of our department, because most of the time it's dependent on other government departments.
So Tina, as a portfolio committee, we can write to them?
To the Minister of Justice, yes.
Okay.
To the Minister of Justice and the South African Law Reform Commission, because the South African Law Reform Commission is under the Minister of Justice.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, DG. The governance and compliance for the rights of persons with disabilities, we have planned to have a status report produced on compliance with national and international obligations for the rights of persons with disabilities monitored, and we'll be analyzing the APPs of other government departments on disability inclusion, and we have planned to have an evaluation on the implementation of the white paper on the rights of persons with disabilities, and the research is going to be conducted on access to education, support and services for children with disabilities. We will also be including in the addendum the climate change research as indicated by the DG. So the analysis report for national department will also be in our addendum, because we want to adjust and make sure that the target is measurable, because during the internal audit process, the unit was found to have not analyzed all government departments, and they were advised that they need to be clear on which departments are they going to target first on disability inclusion, because the challenges that they had were on capacity, a challenge, human resource capacity to analyze all the APPs. Chairperson, I think I have managed to present the program's output, and if through you I may request the CFO to continue with the presentation.
Afternoon, Chairperson, Honorable Members.
No, when Val was presenting on Women's Economic Assembly, your targets there, I don't know how are we going to do oversight on those targets that you have put there. Because when you talk of about symposia, Mambo workshop, radio campaign, and I don't know what how are women going to be empowered like that. I think we need to have something that will be tangible. We need tangible results. in terms of women empowerment. Remember, your advocacy and lobbying and monitoring departments on whether women are benefiting in programs and projects that are there in departments. So our expectations as the portfolio committee would be, maybe you write a specific department, where is the department you're going to monitor them, in whether women in projects that they are having, women do get empowered economically. I don't know whether I'm making sense to you. Because, you see, we did speak with...
That's not been our friend. Anyway, with the summer,
in the meeting that we held with... Mamela, Valvala, you radio yak or TV yak?
It's not me, Chair. I've long muted. I think it's another person in the meeting. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. We spoke with the DJ regarding we're corner. Yep. So we think we wanted to know, understand the coordination of a department with NYDA. But how are they working together in terms of linking all those projects and coordinate? Nina, Tina, your expectations is you need to coordinate on behalf of women, other departments in the projects and programs that they have. That is our understanding. So that at least per quarter, we are able to say these are the following departments that as a department of women, you have done a monitoring and evaluation in terms of the following programs that projects that they were having, which whether women are allowed to participate in that space or not. I can make an example now in the program, a sanitary dignity pass, so that at least we are able to give account to the portfolio committee to say this department, these departments who have done this, and then we've seen that there's a gap here. So much money is spent, but there's nothing that women benefited in those, in what was allocated for women. Again, when they mainstream, you also look at all those things in terms of gender mainstreaming, women empowerment, youth, and persons with disabilities. So that's where our challenge is with regards to your targets. Because if they are not specific, then it becomes difficult for the portfolio committee to make you accountable. So going to radios, having symposium and having elocution, I'm a workshop, I don't know, but how does that empower women? At least if you are going to say, working with sitters, these are the kind of trainings that you are going to request sitters to train women on and so forth. At least that, there's something that is done by a department of women. Because you are not a service delivery a department, but advocacy, monitoring and evaluation. I don't know, but how can you assist there? So that at least you can say your targets are smart. So I understand none of us.
Chair, I'm following the discussion and what you are putting on the table to management. The planning rationale that the DG started with, I think she is in a better position to contextualize and respond. I see her hand is up. Thank you, Chair.
Ibu, your hand got DG. Okay, DG.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to explain WECONA. WECONA is the Women's Economic Assembly that was launched by the President, and it's as a result of, it's in compliance with Pillar 5 in the National Strategic Plan on Gender-Based Violence and Femicide. Pillar 5 is economic power. Therefore, the implementation of the National Strategic Plan also has an aspect of end gender-based violence collaborative. The collaborative is civil society organizations, is private sector, is government, and other individuals not coming in as a formation. So under Pillar 5, government and private sector and civil society organizations requested to establish a Women's Economic Assembly as a means that would bring together the private sector and government to be able to look at issues of empowerment of women, issues like preferential procurement, value chain facilitation, trade facilitation, and financial inclusion. For example, WECONA, what they do, they look at the master plans, the master plans under DTIC. I think there are five or whatever master plan on agriculture, on what's that?
The automotive sector, DG.
Automotive sector and the others, yes. The master plans that are developed by DTIC, they are neutral. They do not say anything. They did not say anything about women, youth, and persons with disabilities. So WECONA is like your lobby group. They are not your formal structure. We were even saying maybe they should register a Section 21 company so that they are formal. When they write, they can write as a formal organization. It's like a lobby group that has been recognized by the President, but that works together with the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities to make inputs or to help DTIC to mainstream women, youth and persons with disabilities. But also now, they will also be establishing in the provinces to assist women in business. For now, it's focusing on those women in business who do not get any procurement from government, so that they can be able to look at how to input into the policies, but also how WECONA can be able to communicate with private sector to request private sector to involve women in business in the value chain processes. For example, there are many sectors who say there are no women who are operating in this sector because it's a specialized area, or even the mines themselves. But the value chain processes, women can provide services in certain areas. So that is what WECONA is doing. So as a department, what we do, the President, even last year's conference was at DECO. He actually said next year it must be at the ICC because DECO was small. It couldn't accommodate all the women in the private sector who wanted to come and participate. And so what I'm trying to say is, as we have captured, is what we are doing for WECONA for now. But also, what I could say is that...
Because Mina, yes. My concern is, what is your program of action in the areas which you just listed, automotive, financial services, and so on? Because I carry Siyabuzwa Ukuthi, it's a forum, but Mina as a department, in terms of your action plan, how are you going to
you
it's a good thing. It's a good thing, but you must have something that Nina, you'll be able also to report on it. What is,
yes.
is achieving the desired